I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about Mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
This is no longer a search and rescue mission. We do, in fact, have a crime scene. Those are the haunting words from a press conference earlier this morning in Tucson from Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos regarding Savannah Guthrie's mother.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, STS Nation? Welcome to the global phenomenon that is Surviving the Survivor, bringing you the very best guest in all of true crime. Tonight's story hits close to home for the COE and our team and myself. The COE, the chief of everything, my wife, our executive producer, Steve Cohen, we all worked at one point. We all worked in traditional media, and I happened to meet the COE working in Tucson, Arizona at the ABC affiliate KGUN 9 News, which is the epicenter of this story that we are covering tonight. And now we are covering Tucson yet again, this time under very different circumstances. We're talking about the disappearance of Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy Guthrie, and her disappearance now officially being treated as a criminal case, saying that the home is now being investigated as a crime scene. So what has changed from last night to today? We're going to dig into this. Here to help us break it down, one of the best panels that you could assemble, Phil Ramos, retired detective, Las Vegas homicide, three-time officer of the year. Phil also worked infiltrating the Cuban mob in Las Vegas as an undercover narcotics officer. Next up, David Sarney, retired NYPD detective, covered everything from homicides to missing persons. He teaches at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. And last but certainly not least, coming in right now, Phil Waters, F-I-L Waters. He's investigated over 400 homicides for the Houston PD, and appreciate all of you being here. Phil Waters, most important question, are you aligned correctly? This appears to be your correct placement.
I believe I am. All is right with the universe. Everything is aligned as it should be.
Okay. For those who don't know, Phil has OCD like myself. He likes to be in a certain position on the screen, and he is in that screen. Let me just give you guys a little background, and then we're going to get right into the details of this. But Nancy Guthrie, she is Savannah Guthrie's mother. Some people said, what is the Today Show? Who is Savannah Guthrie? Because we are a global phenomenon, not just an American show. The Today Show historically is the biggest morning television show in America. It used to be hosted by a woman named Katie Couric. And now it is Savannah Guthrie. And this is Savannah Guthrie's mother, who went missing under mysterious circumstances. Her name is Nancy Guthrie, 84 years old. Phil Waters, what we know is she was last seen Saturday night around 9:30. She goes to church every Sunday morning, and this is an 84-year-old woman who is set in her routine. She goes to church every Sunday. She did not show up in church. Family and friends both got nervous. They called police. There was a wellness check. And once police got there, they started to look around and saw something that they are now describing as a crime scene. This doesn't portend much good in terms of what happened to Nancy Guthrie, but your take up to this point.
Well, it's good to be back with you. Phil, good to see you again, brother. Did you ever check up on that Ferrari 40th?
Looked into it. Still in the works.
Yeah, and okay. Phil, by the way, I know you don't. David is a retired NYPD detective, and David knows you. So go right ahead, Phil.
Good to be with you, David. Okay.
Pleasure.
Well,
pleasure.
You know, this is kind of a it's one of these classic welfare checks that turns into something. And the obvious thing here is the officers got there, did not find her, but found something that sent them in a direction that this is a crime scene. So what is that going to be? It may be signs of a struggle in the house, maybe signs of forced entry into the house. There may be signs of blood. There may be other indications inside the house that show that she did not leave the property willingly.
Phil Ramos, Phil Waters just said it, signs of struggle, signs she did not leave willingly. What is important to note is the sheriff here, and I've got the press conference from today, and there might be one happening this afternoon. I just don't know. It's 2 hours earlier in Tucson, so 3:19 Eastern. So we'll keep tabs on that. If there is a news conference, we'll try to bring it to you live. But Phil Waters mentioned Phil Ramos, signs of a struggle, obviously not leaving on her own recognizance. The Sheriff Chris Nanos made it very clear that this is a woman of sound mind. No dementia, no Alzheimer's. However, she is on medication. And he made a kind of an ominous warning, saying that it's the sort of medication that if she doesn't take within a 24-hour cycle could potentially be fatal. I don't know what that is. Obviously, there are HIPAA laws. But your sense, I texted this to you last night because I knew you'd be up on the West Coast. And you and I were both kind of talking about it. Overnight, it definitely took a turn for the worse.
Yeah, you know, the thing that is so disturbing about this one is the victimology, the profile of the victim. I mean, you know, we have senior citizens that go missing quite often, and it's usually 9 times out of 10 dementia related or some sort of health issue, but she's of sound mind. She's very aware of what she's doing, and she's got some physical ailments apparently that have caused some concern. I read in one account that she's not able to walk more than 50 feet, I think it is. So that leaves us with why her? Why did this happen to this 84-year-old senior who apparently lives by herself? I haven't heard anything different, but there's a lot of question marks, a lot of red flags on this one, and hopefully they're making some good progress. And I say that because of the sudden change in the description that now it's a crime scene, and apparently stopped the search and rescue efforts. That's also a big sign right there. They must have an idea that looking for her is pointless at this point, which is really, really tragic news.
Yeah, and David Sarney, I mean, the elephant in the room here, the Pima County Sheriffs, and obviously Tucson is within Pima County. And I'll get into the size of Tucson in a moment. Some people, including myself, before I went to work there, I thought it was this little podunk town in the West. It is a massive, massive area, something like a 250 square mile city. So there's a lot of ground to cover. But the elephant in the room is that this is not just any woman, and the Pima County Sheriff's Office can try to cast it that way. But this is the mother of, you know, one of America's best known broadcast journalist. So what do you do if you're law enforcement here? There could be potentially something ominous going on here related to her daughter that no one is aware of, you know, some sort of payback. The country is divided, and divided largely across media lines. you know, people on the left, people on the right. How does that complicate this case?
The thing is, when you talk about these cases, you know, NYU called them special category missing at that point because of an elderly person with medication and no longer there. That should have been a crime. It's always a crime scene as soon as that, because it was the last place we know she was at. They have a time frame she was last there. So she, when she was, when they reported her, to have at least time there. Hmm. Do you make it in the status of
David, we got you breaking up quite a bit. Yeah, Dave, I'm sorry. You're breaking up again. I'm going to have you try to come back in with your phone. It's tough to hear you. I apologize.
Yeah, breaking up. Yeah, I just saw that.
You're back now, so go ahead. Well, you know what, David? I'm going to have you try to get in on your phone. I'm going to pop you out. Sorry about that, guys. Sometimes David has an issue in those concrete walls in New York City. Phil Waters, I asked you this question too many times lately. Well, first of all, what's unusual about this, before they even announced that it was a crime scene and not a search and recovery, they mentioned that homicide detectives were on scene. What does that tell you, that homicide detectives were on scene that early in a case like this?
Well, that means those patrol officers that made that call saw something there that was alarming, that this was not just a missing person. This was not, you know, a senile 84-year-old woman that wandered out of her door and is wandering around the area. So something sent them to make a call to homicide. And they sent, I'm assuming they work in pairs, but they sent a pair out there to address the issue. So I think I don't know what David was about to say, but you've already alluded to it. I mean, the first thing I'd be doing as a homicide detective would be looking at Samantha Guthrie's background. Has she been receiving any kind of threats? Does she have somebody that is obsessed with her? And they had contacted the mother to try to get to her and had been spurned, you know, turned away at that point. And because there's a lot of, you know, there's crazy people out there that do these kinds of things. So that would be the first take I would look, would be, how is this disappearance, a possible kidnapping, how is it related to any kind of threats or obsessive behavior that has been exhibited toward Savannah Guthrie?
Well said. And Phil Ramos, why switch Sarney and Waters here so his OCD doesn't get the best of him? Let's see here. There you go. Phil Ramos. How do you go about doing that right now? I mean, let's say you're the lead investigator, and this could very well have happened in a place like Vegas or Houston, where both Phil and Phil work. But you get on scene, you see something that the patrol officers don't like. They call you in. You're the lead homicide detective. And then you say, oh, man, this is the anchor of the Today Show. How are you checking in a relatively expedient manner to see if she does have some sort of stalker, something in her past that, you know, resonates with homicide detectives, that maybe there's someone that wanted to do some harm either to Savannah directly or indirectly by getting to her mother?
Yeah, well, the first place you're going to start, like we always start these days, is with her digital footprint. I mean, they're going to go through every single aspect of every electronic device that she has. Was she on social media? Was anybody stalking her, through the internet? And the big question is there some connection with Savannah? I mean, you know, we see that happen, but not to this extent. Usually if there's some animus towards Savannah, they would target her directly more than her mom. So this has got an aspect to it that is very unusual, if that's the case. If it's some revenge type of thing. If it's not, if it was some random home invasion and they had no idea that she was related to a celebrity, then that they could have panicked and said, oh man, are we in the wrong house? So whatever the responding patrolman, the responding officer saw that caused them to call homicide right away is going to be of interest, because, you know, a trained officer is going to look at something and say, no, 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 that's not right. Let's get the detectives out here and follow up on this. So, and that came out right away. So something that they saw initially didn't take long for them to say, get the detectives out here. This is not going to be a simple missing person.
Yeah. David, I hope you have us back here. Yeah. You know, it's New York City and L.A. in terms, I think, of high profile cases. So what about obviously the link with Savannah Guthrie here? And obviously she is in New York City. How do you manage that as you're trying to investigate this case? And then I'm going to get to the press conference from earlier today.
You're going to have a lot of eyes in this case, and that's par for the course, especially in New York City. We have high profile cases. Sadly, a lot of times the investigators aren't concerned about it. That's why you have supervisors and executive staff to kind of deal with the noise that's outside. You don't let that happen. You know, you don't let the investigation get deterred because it's a person of celebrity status and it's a family member of celebrity status. You're still doing the case as it is. We've had high profile cases in the past. I've dealt with some, and that's never the issue. Is the victim. The issue right now is a missing person who is under obviously very out of the ordinary circumstances, and the noise will be taken care of itself. Let the media deal with what they're going to do. They're going to speculate. The investigators do what the investigators do from point A to point Z. That's what they're doing right now. And you're hoping for the best, but this is such an unusual case that, you know, the question is, why was she taken? If you were going to create harm or do harm to an elderly person, why did you take her with you? That's something you have to look at. What, and that's, I think Phil brought it up, is any connections, any issues with family members that might have been threatened in the past? And was there forced entry? We don't know. They're not really letting a lot of information out right now.
Yeah, and David, you sound great, which is awesome. Her cane was there still, my guess, according to Cal Sterling. You know, the minute I heard this story, and as I said off the top, both the COE and I worked in K-Gun. I was there for about 5 years, and I absolutely love it there. Just salt of the earth people. But I'll never forget, there was a case that I covered. It was an 88-year-old woman who needed either a wheelchair or a walker. I can't remember which. And she went missing, and she was apparently dragged out of the house. And very sadly, they found her. And I hope this is not how this ends, but they found her in a shallow grave. And it was just someone who was, I think, trying to rob her. It was just an unbelievable tragedy, and we were covering it, and no one knew what happened to her, and the community was involved. So an awful result in that case, and I'm hoping that's not the same situation here. But let's listen to this is Sheriff Chris Nanos of Pima County. He was not there when I was there, but he's a soft-spoken, humble guy, and he is the lead law enforcement officer in this county. Let's take a listen.
Well, I think I told you she is very limited in her mobility, right? We know she didn't just walk out of there. That we know. There are other things at the scene that indicate there was a she did not leave on her own. We know that.
If you don't have plate readers, is there a vehicle associated with it?
When I told you we're now at the phase where we're looking at all the technology, all of that is being evaluated as we speak. Let me say this. We've not just thrown our search and rescue team out there. They are going to be doing some door-to-door with our criminal investigation team. It is not just our homicide unit, all of our criminal investigation detectives. I went out last night to the scene. There were probably 100 cars out there, all from the sheriff's department, all working this case. It takes a lot of manpower and a lot of energy. This team of mine worked throughout the night. They continue to work. David's had zero sleep, but he and his team are working as hard as they can.
Is there anybody else associated with her, a caregiver, family member, acquaintance, who is also missing and somebody?
No. The family, all of the family has been very cooperative with us. They're working with us. They're staying in touch with us. They have complete access to anybody on this department. Savannah has been in touch with us as well. our hearts go out to them.
This goes on for a little longer, so I'm going to break it into thirds. Phil Waters, it's interesting because at one point just prior to this, he mentions that they're using these LPRs, these license plate readers, but then he kind of backs off of it here where he says, you know, we're just using all the instruments available to us. The fact that he mentioned those license plate readers, does that tell you that they think, you know, she's been abducted and she's in a vehicle somewhere? He also says it's not just search and rescue and it's not just homicide. So how do you read the tea leaves here?
Well, I don't know what the size of this sheriff's department is, but something like this, I'm sure, is not a common occurrence. And they are marshaling all the resources they have to bring this to a conclusion. Of course, everybody is wanting it to conclude with her being found alive and well and taken care of her. I think maybe the LDR thing may have been a Freudian slip on his part.
Ooh, you there, Phil?
A resource that would indicate to me that they've got some information that that particular resource may bring a result. So I'm sure they're doing what any investigation has to do in something like this. He already talked about the detective there, alluded to canvassing the area there. They're going to have to go door to door, talk to anybody that was in the area at the time and see if there was any kind of events, any vehicles, anything that was out of place in that neighborhood. So it's all part of a big picture. And there, and when he's telling you that he's got 100 cars out there, he's got the entire investigative division. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means 50 people or 5 people, but I am sure they're getting some assistance, I would think, from the state police. They may, if they're looking at this as a kidnapping, then the FBI will be involved in this. And so they're putting together all these resources to try to find her as quickly as they can.
Yeah. Phil Ramos, so people don't realize, and I know you do because you live in Las Vegas, but again, Tucson, just the city of Tucson is something like 250 square miles. It's massive. I remember driving one time. We're driving for like an hour and a half, and it's not easy to get to a highway. So you just like drive through some streets. Someone asked where she lives. Nancy Guthrie lives in the foothills in a well-to-do neighborhood, which I'm pretty familiar with. But it is a massive city, and they're adjoining towns, connecting towns like Oro Valley and Green Valley that surround it. So it is a huge area, and you see Marta Fonda echoing what I'm saying here. Tucson's huge, super great relationships. Someone said that who's in that neighborhood, they just saw a helicopter over Picacho Peak, which is northwest of where she would have been found, but still quite a distance away. But in a place like this, Phil Ramos, that's desert-like, like Las Vegas, it's like trying to find a needle in a haystack. How do you do it? How do you even start?
Yeah, with everybody out there, we here last week, Sheriff announced that we've started a drone unit here in Vegas, and they've already found 3 missing kids within 45 minutes of when they were reported missing by getting those drones up in the air and searching. So hopefully they've got that sort of technology. And there's so many military assets in that area of Arizona. The helicopter that they were referring to could just be a routine maneuvers, National Guard or Army or Air Force. But there's so many assets available in such a large area like that, that surely they've got everything they can. And you start with you know, the canine search teams at the house where she was last known to be, and you know, to go to the old school way of looking, using a dog, and then you gradually advance to the new technology. If that means drones up in the air, you get drones up in the air and mounted units. So since there's such a big desert area, there's just so much area to cover, and you just have to call everybody in. Man, they're going to cancel days off, and a lot of overtime is going to be spent on this as it progresses, and hopefully it's resolved quickly in a favorable way. But again, man, here we go. But my senses are it's not going to end in a good way.
I can tell you, too, that story that I mentioned when I was in Tucson, this probably goes back to 2009, 2008. This woman was dragged out of her house. She was disabled, either using a walker or wheelchair, and later found dead. I can tell you for certain that there were not 100 sheriff's deputies vehicles looking for her. And that's not to say that they don't need it or shouldn't have it for Nancy Guthrie, but I think it just speaking to the high profile nature of this crime. One other thing, David Sarney, Phil Waters mentioned, you know, the word ransom. I didn't even think of that, but obviously Savannah Guthrie makes a very comfortable 7-figure salary. There could be someone in Tucson who says, hey, this woman's daughter is incredibly wealthy. What if I take her and put her in a house? I mean, how realistic is something like that, like a kidnapping for ransom? It seems to be more of a movie thing than a reality thing. But your thoughts?
If it's the typical burglary or break-in, you're not going to see, you know, when perpetrators do those break-ins, they usually do it during the day. If she's taken an extractor from the home, there's got to be an ulterior motive. I mean, that's the weird thing, because if there was going to be a robbery or something like that, the violence would take place and the body would be there. It does leave a question a lot of things. You cannot rule anything out, because we really don't have much. That's the problem. You have a home where the woman seems to be forced to be removed from the house, and now we have to figure out why and where did she go? Where is she? They don't know. And there's nothing. Her phone was left at the scene. Can they do, this is back to the whole thing, backtracking on any issues or complaints against Savannah, any family members? You know, why did they do it at this time? And that's how I'm very big on, like, why now? Why at between 9:30 and more in the morning she was taken? Did someone come to the house? Did someone break into the house? We don't know. The sheriff has not been very forthcoming, and he shouldn't be, because you don't want to tell everybody everything. That's why I think the LPR thing, he kind of, the license plate reader, I think he pulled back on it because he didn't want people to know what we're looking at. And that's right, because that's what investigators do. We don't tell you everything. And all we're doing right now is you're keeping up to date about the investigation and overall. You're not going to tell any detailed information that we found blood at the scene, we found this at the scene. They're giving you very, very tertiary information right now. But I'll tell you, the amount of work has been put on this case, the special category, and the profile that it is, you're going to see all points to bear at this point. Well, that's why you have 100 cars there. That's why you're going to have the use of drones. You have federal partners. The FBI apparently wants to assist in this investigation. So there's going to be a lot of eyes on this, too.
And I'm going to ask Scott Duffy, Phil Waters, partner in crime from the FBI, to come on tomorrow to talk to us about the FBI aspect, because they've already reached out to the FBI for help. Phil Waters, I'm going to play the rest of this in just a moment, but this is true. The clock is running on these medications. The sheriff himself said she can really only go 24 hours with whatever medication it is that she needs. Otherwise, it could have a fatal result. I mean, what can you possibly do in this race against the clock, Phil Waters?
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy, because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep. And man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE. Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, Not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Phil was on either a long delay or he's not hearing me. But Phil Ramos, let me toss that to you. What do you do? I mean, there's a race against the clock, a literal race against the clock. But there's really, I mean, you have your hands tied, right, Phil Ramos?
Yeah, I mean, you realize why she needs this kind of medication, what medical condition she has. It requires that constant flow of medication. And so that's another motive for you to try and get out there and find her. And right now they're just blasting her picture and all the information they can, media, social platforms, everything, to get the word out. If you see this lady, please call the police. It may be that she just walked away, and on her way out the door, she, you know, knocked some things over, and that might be what the evidence of a crime could be. I doubt it, but that's always a possibility. So all you can do is blast her picture and the information as much as you can, and hopefully, you know, if the bad guys are holding her and they realize two things. If she misses her medication and results in serious bodily harm or death, that's a murder. So they're going to be responsible for her death, whether it was a hands-on death or not. They're still going to be responsible for it. It's going to be a felony murder committed during the commission of a felony. So somebody's got to be able to locate her and know that it's her, and call 911 right away and say, we have her, and this is the condition that she's in, and get some medical assistance to her, if that's available. The bad guys, you know, we're kind of jumping a little bit ahead of ourselves, but if the bad guys have her, for whatever reasons that we've discussed, I don't think the issue of medication is going to affect their decision on what they're going to do.
Phil Waters, are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You couldn't hear me a second ago, but I'm glad you're back now. Authorities here are asking the public for help, and I was asking you, and Phil Ramos just answered it, about the clock ticking with her medication that she's supposed to have within 24 hours. But other than to do what Phil Ramos just said, which is blast out her picture and ask the public for help, is there anything else you can do to race against this clock, Phil Waters?
Well, I think it's interesting he's talking about the medication, the sheriff is, because my question there is, was there medication left at the scene? So, which would indicate, obviously, they didn't take it with them. And perhaps his talking about the medication, he's sending a message. He's not sending that message to us. He's sending that message to whoever it was that snatched her up to let them know, look, you're treading on some thin ice here. This lady has some medical issues that have to be addressed with this medication in a timely fashion. And you may have initiated this type of thing for the sake of the discussion, that your intent is to ask for some ransom or something of that nature. But you have not planned enough ahead to understand that there are some health issues involved here, and you're going to get yourself, you know, and what Phil's talking about, if she dies in the middle of this in Texas, there's certainly a possibility they could file capital murder, at the very least, a felony murder. So, because then you have a question of intent, so forth. But the sheriff is, I think he's doing a good job in terms of being able to send a message to the kidnappers and send a message to the general public that this is how serious this is regarding her health issues. So I'm just hoping and praying this turns out well, but situations like this, at least in my experience, they tend to turn out badly.
And you're hearing that from two separate homicide detectives, Phil Ramos and Phil Waters, who have collectively investigated about 800 homicides and have been in in homicide units for probably 30 years collectively, with more experience than anybody else collectively. I would put money on it. And then you've got David Sarney as well. Wasn't just David was not just a homicide detective, but has investigated homicide cases. Some people are guessing maybe it's type 1 diabetes. We don't know. We don't know the medication that she needed. But this is now Sheriff Chris Nanos of Pima County, an absolutely massive county that is home to Tucson. Let's continue to listen here. We'll get some more thoughts.
This is their mom. She's, yeah, just a great lady from what I've heard. And I feel for the family. We just want to find her and bring her back safe.
Sheriff, you mentioned that she didn't just walk out, but is there any like additional information that you can give us on what may have alluded to this being a crime scene?
You know, I wish I could. I really do. I know that everybody wants to know certain things, but I can't do that it would be inappropriate at this time.
Are there signs of breaking and entering or any forced entry, anything like
that? I again don't want to get into that. David, can you see anything here?
At this time, it's like still a very active investigation. There were circumstances on scene that we believe are suspicious in nature, I think is the best way to put it. But we can't really get into a whole lot of details with that.
I'm going to hold it there. And then there's about a little less than a third of it left. Icicle Oksu from Turkey just gave us a super chat. Very generous. There's no digital footprint, no surveillance footage released. And we hear about the case 2 days after it's reported, even though the daughter is well known. What do we actually have in hand to make any assumptions? I'm having a hard time. I think everyone's having a hard time kind of trying to wrap their heads around it. The timeline is not completely clear. She was last heard from 9:30 on Saturday, and then she doesn't show up in church Sunday morning. David Sarney, I actually think that family and friends took action very quickly, because it was really the only other time you would, from Saturday at 9:30, when maybe Savannah said, hey, good night, Mom, I'll talk to you tomorrow. She doesn't show up at church, and they did the right thing. I mean, how could anyone have acted quicker than this?
Not really any faster. I think what they, because if she, again, this is about routine. Her routine has always been church on Sundays. She didn't show up. So again, 84 years old, you know, well, somewhat healthy, but again, medication that we cannot determine what type of meds it is. But they went back, they did the wellness check. They saw that she wasn't there. They notify the police arrive. Again, we have to do a top to bottom search of the house to make sure she is not there. Now you have things that have determined that this is something that is out of the ordinary. So I suspicious is always unusual, but out of the ordinary that she didn't go, she is not gone there. So how did she get to church? These are questions you're going to ask everyone that knows her. How did she get to church? You know, that's how they know she didn't show up, by not going to church. Is her vehicle there? We know her cell phone there. We know her walk is there. We know her meds are there. And they're not releasing anything more. They're saying things are out of the ordinary, are suspicious to the extent of, that's why they became an active crime scene. And anytime, I think, when you deal with a person who's not home, that's an active crime scene, and she's missing for unusual circumstances. We don't know. It's all speculation. So you've had that grid search. You've done that search around the area to determine where she might have been, because she cannot travel far physically. So now if she's not there, that means she has been moved. We don't know what moved her. That's why they're looking. They're doing a canvas, an extended video canvas, extended video witness canvases. So between 9:30 in the morning and sometime when she didn't go to church is that window that you're looking for. So hopefully, again, you always hope for the best, but you know, we don't know what this is going to happen. We don't know the end of this, but we'll just, you know, they're going to keep doing this until they find what happened.
Very well said. Nikki here. Saturday is a long time. It's Monday night. Yeah. I think the point I was making with David, and I totally get what you're saying, is that she checked in with family and friends Saturday at 9:30, and then she wasn't last seen here, according to Rosemary, at 9:45. And then she typically goes to church, which is her routine, where she didn't show up. So by the time law enforcement was notified, it was fairly fast relative to everything, because I don't think anyone was talking to her Saturday night. And when she didn't show up at church, that's when the calls went out, which would have been sort of the next point of contact for a lot of people. Let me play out. There's a less than a third of this. Again, Sheriff Chris Nano, so the Pima County Sheriff's Office.
Do you believe that this was targeted, or they just happened to hit Savannah Guthrie's mom, or if this was just...
We don't know that. We don't. We look at all of that, but we just don't know that.
Do they have cameras at the home?
They do, and we're looking through some of that. Yeah.
But this being an active privacy, is there any threat to the general public?
Trying to figure out my phone. Well, you know, no, I don't think there's an active threat, but I hate to say that because, you know, we're going to canvass that neighborhood and maybe there's a prowler been seen around. There's a lot of work still to do. We don't have any indication that that the public is in danger.
And what does that search look like today beyond what you've already told us about last night?
So we have shut down our search and rescue mission, and we've sent them home to rest. They were out all night.
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorites. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
All right. So they, Phil Rama, that's all we have of the news conference, and there very well could be another one today. And I, in a way, I hope there's not, because it might be bad news. So what do you make of the fact that they shut down the search and rescue portion of the mission? They just said that they were exhausted from last night. Pima County is not small. I can tell you that they're not like a podunk department. You've got the Air Force there. You've got resources. You know, I don't know if they would ever tap into that, but you've got Tucson police, which is a big, pretty big force. But what does it tell you that they quote unquote shut down the search and rescue operators?
Yeah, that's a pretty strong statement that he made there, because he said, yeah, they're tired and they're beat. They haven't slept, but okay. Yeah, that's expected. So who's relieving them? He didn't say that the mission was continuing. He just said it shut down. So something at that house, led them to that decision to say there's no reason for us to keep looking. We just have to follow with what we have. And let's remember that on big cases like this, we've talked about this many, many times, that holdback that right now is critical to the case. That's why he seems so frustrated, this poor sheriff, that, you know, he's trying to answer as best as he can, but he just can't do it. He can't compromise that investigation at this early point. So they're following up on something that caused them to say, there's no point in continuing the search. Now we have to go in this direction, wherever this evidence takes us, and that's what they're doing. We just don't know what it is, and we shouldn't know what it is right at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to remain tight-lipped. You can tell that this sheriff, who I do not know, is incredibly compassionate. He talked about how much he hates politics, which I agree with him on, and he didn't want people to get political. Because he was talking about using drones and maybe possibly some AI instruments, and people are saying that it infringes on, you know, people's rights. And he's like, this is not a time for these types of arguments. Let us do our work, and basically butt out of it is what he was saying in a nice way. Bill Waters, again, we know, just to reiterate, according to family, according to Savannah Guthrie, Nancy Guthrie, her mother has no cognitive impairment, no dementia. She was not the type of person that would just kind of wander off. She was very mentally sharp. They make a point of how mentally sharp she is. I mean, if you said to me, hey, Joel, would Carm ever wander off? You guys know my mother. I mean, she's sharp as a tack. She's not wandering off unless something happens from 1 minute to the next, God forbid, that really impairs her. like a stroke potentially, but I don't think she'd be wandering off if that happened, God forbid. She is physically limited in that she could only walk about 50 yards. But Phil Waters, one thing we haven't heard of, you know, my mom literally is attached to her cell phone. She wears it around her neck. And we made her get one of those life alerts. When we're not home, she wears one of those necklaces that connects to, you know, basically a 911 dispatcher for all intents and purposes. But would we know? I mean, if she had her phone on her, would we, the public, know that? And obviously law enforcement would. What would they be doing with that phone if she's got it on her?
Well, let me back up just a second before we talk about that. One interesting thing that the sheriff said to me was there is no threat to the public. Well, you know, in any investigation, you're going to start at the people that are closest to her and then go out from there. So I'm not trying to imply that there's something with someone within the family. However, that statement is an indicator that if they have a possible suspect, they've seen something, they've got something that they've dug up in the course of this investigation that tells them there's no threat to the public. So that was an interesting comment, I thought. And
Phil, I stand corrected. The phone was at home. The sheriff said it. I missed that. Baby doll correcting me here. So the phone was left at home. No one leaves their house these days without the phone. Is that one of the reasons they think
they're still going to be looking at the phone? They want to see who's the last person that had contact with her on the phone. So the fact that she didn't have the phone, that's not a good thing, but they are still going to look. They're not just going to dismiss the phone. So they're going to be looking at the phone. They want to see who contacted her last, see if there's anything that would indicate who she spoke with last. And at that time of the morning, I mean, you know, you would think that she had some contact with someone, but they're going to try to establish a timeline leading up to the time that she is taken out of the house. So there are a lot of things going on here. I just looked up that county sheriff's office has 600 sworn personnel. So they've got some resources there, and it looks like they have committed most of them to this investigation, as they should. You know, but keep in mind, too, that, you know, this is getting a lot of notoriety because she's Samantha Guthrie's mother. But I would tell you that department and any others would be marshaling the same amount of forces for anybody. You know, something like this happened. This is a real mystery, and it's a mystery with few clues. But they're working on it, and again, what we're hopeful for is that the result will be they will find her and be able to bring her back in relative good health enough to get her to her medications, of course.
Yeah. From Jennifer, Savannah does have two siblings, an older sister, Annie, and an older brother, Cameron. And she was not on the show this morning because she's in Tucson. I mean, there are more important things than work, even if you are the NBC Today Show anchor. And that is if your mother goes missing. So she promptly went out there. They're already saying, and I don't know what to read into this, but there are reports the Olympics start in like 8 days. It's in Italy, and Savannah was set to be there. But apparently she is not going to be covering the Olympics from what I've seen preliminarily, which is absolutely the least of her worries right now. But maybe that says something. This is a shot of how big Tucson is, and it goes. If you're looking at this photo, I mean, there's literally probably another 100 miles in the foreground to the south. And then you see all that to the foothills. She lived up in the foothills area, closer to the mountain range. This is her home. This is what a lot of the homes look like, just nestled in there with some nice little rattlesnakes and javelinas and scorpions in these yards. But this is a sort of a very nice yet typical-ish looking home. In the foothills of Tucson, Arizona. So it is, I mean, if you look at that brush, and David Sarney, let me come to you, because the search early on included drones, infrared heat-seeking technology, search dogs, assistance from the Border Patrol. There's a ton of Border Patrol down there, obviously. but no signs. And I asked Ramos this earlier. I mean, just trying to find someone in this backyard is not that easy. And then you just extend it out basically 200 miles in every direction, if not more. How do you even begin?
Well, you start from what, given the fact you know about her mobility, you start around that house. You're going to check the house itself. You're going to top to bottom from every room, under bed, in bathroom, wherever it's going to be. Then you're going to have that search outside, the exterior search from the residence outward. And you may have to go back over it again. I know there's no talking about a search and, you know, search and rescue, but the reality is they're going to have to go back, and whatever they think they have missed has to be redone. And I hate to say it, sometimes the easiest things get missing or missing was, you know, we didn't look at the right place. It's going to take time on that part, but they believe. And I think what the sheriff did, and he put it out there, that there's video in the house. So that's another thing. He unfortunately kind of leaked out this video in the house. So obviously they've been looking at that video to see what transpired, what had her removed from that house. And now you're going to work on that post incident where she left. And now they probably have a time, but hopefully have a time on it. I don't know if she has a Ring camera or regular surveillance system in the house. I don't know. They're looking at that. And I'll tell you, they're going over that time frame, making sure, because it's a 12-hour difference between the 9:30 and in the morning. So can that video show something earlier when this interaction with whomever it was, or her leaving the house, whatever reason, will show a better time frame? But now you're talking about over a day plus, and a person who needs that medication, and it's you're doing the best you can, and you're hopefully to get a positive result. But and I believe all of us believe the same thing. It's not looking good right now, so that's why the race against time is there.
Someone is asking, David Sarney, I mean, what are the chances of this? I think next to none, but there are bobcats and mountain lions, wildlife capable of carrying someone away. I mean, I always have to keep an eye out on my dog, Mabel, there, because these javelinas charge you. But, I mean, they've got to look at everything, so I'm assuming they're looking for paw prints or whatever, but the chance of that seem next to zero. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, could that happen? When we talk about these things, and you think in the worst possible way, and you have to think of the worst scenario, when they move something, it's usually in a shallow area. They don't have time to dig or anything like that. So they're checking everything, but you have to go back into that brush, because sometimes brush and the terrain itself is difficult to go over. We've seen this happen. They've canvassed these areas, and it's maybe a half a mile away, a quarter mile away. And you know what, and this is where it comes down to tire tracks. Do you see that type of residence? How many were the tire tracks remaining there? Was there signs of a struggle when she left the location? Was there anything within the family's history that someone would know she is Savannah Guthrie's mom and they could extract her? You know, these are things you're thinking of right now. And, you know, they're looking as a crime scene. And that's the reason why, because we really have very little right now, but it will happen. It just takes time, and personnel, manpower takes the time to get to the results that you're hoping to get, very positive ones.
Yeah. The Pima County Sheriff, if you're listening, 520-351-4900, 520-351-4900. In that press conference, the first set of questions was a friend of the COE and mine, a guy named Craig Smith, who is a veteran, the most veteran reporter in Tucson. I've reached out to him today, but he's all over the story. So just waiting to hear back, and hopefully tomorrow going to keep covering this. He can come on and give us some insight about these press conferences. Next couple questions for Ramos and Waters. Phil Ramos, the house is now sealed. It's being processed as a crime scene. The sheriff is not specifying what was found, but says or intimates that there was a sign of a struggle. So if you're the lead homicide detective and you're doing a walkthrough of that house right now, what are you looking for?
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high stress guy, because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorites. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, They help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Well, you're going to start at ground zero, whatever that evidence was to indicate that it was a crime scene. And then you start your search radiating out from that. So anything that would be associated to the specifics of what that evidence was for him to say this is a crime scene, broken soda bottle or something like that, you're looking for something similar throughout the house. And you need to keep that to a minimum because you don't want to contaminate the evidence that's there. So it's going to take a long time. It's going to be a very detailed search because you just don't know what you're looking for or what potential evidence is going to be there. So they're going to be there for a couple of days at the house, at least.
Phil Waters, just add on to that. I mean, you've got now a house that is the focal point, kind of the center point. Media is out there. I have friends in Tucson, so I was asking, and news directors are asking, please don't show the home. Per the law enforcement asked local media not to show the home anymore, just to show the street. They don't want to focus for other people to come by. But what else, Bill Waters, is happening at the epicenter of this now, what is believed to be a crime?
Well, as Phil's already stated, and David's talked about, they're processing the scene. And you've got to remember, we don't know what they know. And something at that scene that they've already processed has led them in a certain direction that we're not aware of. I'm sure they're taking DNA swabs. They're taking, if there's any blood, of course, they're going to swab the blood. I would imagine they can fast track the DNA testing to see if there is blood, to see who that blood belongs to, if they've got a mixture of DNA or if they've got separate DNA and two different blood samples, that would indicate, and then they're going to do all this thing they can with that, running through CODIS, whatever system they've got. So there's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts right now. And a lot of personnel are assigned to specific tasks within this investigation. They're doing the work that needs to be done. And the problem is, and that people will start to criticize and this and that. I've said it before, these things don't happen in 43 minutes with no commercials. And that's just the reality here. But they're moving as quick as they can, given what they're uncovering at that scene. So we don't know what the scene reflected that got this thing quickly cordoned off as a crime scene and secured as that so that they can properly process it. David talked about making sure you have searched that property thoroughly. And that means that you're going to go back. You should have a couple of teams that go in there and research behind one another to make sure you cover it. Because I want to tell you, it wasn't my case, but we had a case in Houston where crime scene, no body, and the crime scene units had been out there. The detectives had been out there. And then they get a phone call from a family member who goes out there and finds the body between some mattresses and box springs in a bedroom. So as you can imagine, that some people got called on the carpet for that. But the point is, I mean, we found bodies in AC returns. If that's the picture of the house, there's a lot of places in there that a body could be stuffed into. If something happened right there, and try to find a place to put that body where, you know, it being found may take some effort, may take some time. So that's a great point that David made, is you got to make sure that when you're searching that property, you've got to make sure you get that right.
That's fascinating. So, Phil Ramos, real quick, I'm going to get to Sarnie and I'm going to come back to you and Waters. But Phil Ramos, how about that? I mean, have you had a situation where you get a body found in between mattresses or an air conditioning duct? Are they basically dismantling parts of this house just to make sure? Thank you. I'm going to get to that in a second. Are they dismantling parts of this house, like the AC units where the ducts are, just to make sure that no one had the time to hide a body somewhere?
Well, it depends on what this evidence was that we've been talking about. They may very well could be, or depending on that evidence, there, you know, they could say, hey, there's no point in doing that because, you know, you're looking for an axe. You're not going to look in an ashtray for an axe. You know, it's that old adage that we have, you know, when you're doing a search warrant, you got to look where something could possibly be and not just anywhere. But in this case, when the entire house is a crime scene and you don't know exactly what the details were of the cause and manner of death, you know, the murder weapon could be anything as far as we know. So, yeah, we've all had that happen. Particular case that I had, you know, not to be gruesome, but a mother went missing and we found her body in a storage unit in a 50-gallon drum that was welded shut to the top. And the suspects thought that because it was welded shut, there'd be no body fluids escaping. Well, they did, and that's how we found it. I mean, we were knocking on it and trying to shove it around to see if there was an advanced state of decomposition, and the physical results of that you could tell just by shaking this 50-gallon drum, but it wasn't there at the time. And 2 weeks later, property owner called up and said something really stinks in that storage unit, and she was in that barrel.
Wow. These are the things that these guys have to see, maybe not on a daily basis, but in their careers, and more often than you think. Melissa Navone, back to Phil Waters for a quick second, then I promise I'm getting to Sarnie. The likelihood it's someone she knows, would that depend on what they find at the crime scene? You know, you have enough experience. Do you think it's somebody that she potentially knows?
Well, you know, I never like to speculate on
yes, I do.
Hypothesize on things. I will just say that I found the statement by the sheriff that there was no threat to the public interesting. And that could only mean a couple of things. Is that, why is that the case? Because it's a possible family member or a friend. So I don't want to speculate that that's what's happened here. I just make the observation that that's an interesting way to put the public at ease, which is a part of the responsibility of the sheriff as well. I mean, he's got to assure the public that we don't have just some nut job running around here snatching up 84-year-old women on a tear. So, interesting comment from the sheriff.
Yeah, and we're going to stay on this story for sure. Like I said, I was actually talking with my friend Matt B., who's a weatherman at the NBC station, last night. And this is when the story broke. I found out from him late last night. And that's when I texted Phil Ramos, because he's on West Coast time. And then I just said to the COE, this is going to turn into a very big story overnight. We're going to stay on it. David Sarnie. So apparently they've sort of, quote unquote, consulted with the FBI already. So you've got the feds. There's a very large Air Force base called Davis-Monthan there. There's an Army base, Fort Huachuca, that's not that far away. Would they ever utilize the resources, and what would the FBI be doing or assisting with here?
Well, the FBI has definitely more opportunity to exploit technological advancements and the dealing with cell sites and cell triangulation, because we have a phone that's there. Her phone is there. A lot of times people bring their phones with them wherever they go. Was there another phone at that residence that left? So you're looking at all those things. You're looking at anything you can do technologically wise to try to hone in on a time frame, because that's why they're looking at the video at the house. And now you get the video of the house. What can we do other than that? Can they triangulate cell phone usage around a time frame? That's a lot. That takes a lot of time and a lot of resources for that to do it. The FBI has an opportunity to, if they can exploit it faster and better than, let's say, the local sheriff, local police department, then utilize it. And I think that's why law enforcement is important, because we all work together to achieve the best possible result. We want to find, you know, Samantha's mother. That's the goal of this. We want to find her safe and sound. And if the FBI is willing to assist, take the cooperation, take that and run it as best you can, because you have enough officers out there, your local sheriff's office is running around looking to see what they can get out of this. So let's, and no problem, I have no problem using any resource available to get what we can. And that's obviously the safe return of Nancy.
Carm, I hope I never see you on a missing person, vulnerable adult poster ever in my life, Carm. You better have that life alert around your neck right now and that cell phone in your hand. I'm not saying that Nancy wouldn't fight, but I know Carm would be kicking on her way out, hopefully connecting. There's a piece of video here that the COE wanted me to play. I believe this is Savannah Guthrie reporting from Tucson at some point. Let's take a look.
Wildcats, I am here home in Tucson where the saguaro cacti are giant, as you know. The sunsets are legendary, and my mom is still waiting for me here with open arms. We are painting murals today, chasing javelinas, reliving some good old days at the University of Arizona. And of course, I have to have lunch at El Charro. So stay tuned to see more of my visit home.
There it is. She's at home. You heard about javelinas. If you don't know javelinas, you learn about them real fast when you're in the desert. Phil Waters and Phil Ramos, this is the tough part. And no way am I saying is there anything that anyone is guilty. But as Phil Waters and Ramos have both told me, you have to look at everyone. And this is before her current marriage to Michael Feldman, who she's married to now. Savannah was married to a guy named Mark Orchard, a fellow journalist. Two of them got married in 2005 and divorced 4 years later. And during an interview with Monica Lewinsky, Savannah explained why she didn't like to spend much time on that relationship. She explained that her divorce is, quote unquote, the one thing she did not ever want to talk about, explaining that she really didn't want to talk through it in detail. Some of it, this is all quote, some of it was just too personal and too embarrassing. It was horrible and sad, and it broke my heart. And it took me years to recover, and I'm not blaming anyone, but I really don't want to get into it. Phil Ramos, these are uncomfortable conversations, but you have to look at everybody. We just had this case of Spencer Monique Tepe, where this Michael McKee guy comes out of nowhere a decade later and is now accused of their murders. Again, no one is implicating this guy, Mark Orchard, no one at all, but who do you talk to family wise and friends wise, and how do you start to question them? And then Phil asked me about that too.
Well, you talk to everybody, absolutely everybody. And, you know, it's going to be on the list, but not very high on that, particularly if Savannah can divulge the information that she was holding back and didn't want it made public. And remember, we sat here and talked about the Tepes and said, there's some deep, dark secret behind this. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. I don't think that's the case here. I would be very, very surprised if it is, because what kind of deep, dark secret does an 84-year-old woman have that you would do this to her? So it's certainly something that they're going to look into, but not right away.
Yeah, Phil Waters, again, this guy Mark Orchard was mentioned. Her first husband, something wasn't right in that relationship. I mean, how quickly on in this investigation, if you're the lead detective, do you want to talk to him? How quickly do you want to talk to the son, the daughter, etc.?
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, They help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Well, he would be pretty high on my list. I mean, he's a guy because look it is as important to eliminate suspects as it is to find the right one. So you don't want to be spending a lot of time in the investigation on a possible suspect that can be easily eliminated. And I had a case similar in the sense that we had a kidnapping. It was a 12-year-old little boy, and there had been an incident with the boy's father years before where he had kidnapped, for lack of a better term, the boy, and didn't harm him in any way, but that was the allegation, and he had taken the boy and trying to get him away from the mother and so forth and so on. It ended up being more of a domestic squabble than a real kidnapping. However, we went and he lived, you know, 300 miles away, and we went there and interviewed him. So, just because you've got this figure in the past, and he may be the least likely candidate, it doesn't mean that you don't get in there, talk to them, and eliminate them quickly so that you can move on to other aspects of the investigation. So I wouldn't just give him a pass. As Phil's already mentioned, the young couple in Ohio, that percolated for what, 8 years?
Yeah.
And then the guy does what he does. So, I will say this again. I always say it, that people are capable of any crime under the right set of circumstances. So we don't know what circumstances caused this person to do what they did to Savannah's mother.
We do have the best guest in true crime. It is not a tagline. Thank you, Joel, for having such a great panel. This is a whodunit right now, and you're hearing from three amazing detectives. Phil Waters, let's say this guy, Mark, lives in Vermont. I don't know. I'm just totally making this up right now. And you want to speak to him quickly. You're getting him on the phone. And what are you asking him?
Well, we've got the FBI. I mean, when they say they're consulting the FBI, look, every kidnapping that we had in Houston, the FBI always came in. Now, you can call them consultants, whatever tag you want to put on them. The point is that the FBI is there to assist always. And as David's talked about, they have resources that we as a local department did not have. And that's why they're brought in, because we bring all these. So I don't know what, I mean, the aspect of cell site towers and that kind of thing, dumping those things and trying to get that information, which just takes a lot of time to get. But if it were me, and say he is that far away, then that's when you get the FBI to go contact him wherever he is and conduct that interview. So that's the great part about having the FBI involved, because they have those resources that can reach out on a national level. You could go to the local department and do the same thing. However, you have that resource, and that's something that can be quickly put into motion and make that contact, get out there, find that guy, and get him in there to an interview room and interview him.
Thank you again to Isagal Aksu, who says if Phil has no insights, we're all in trouble. But Phil, I'm sure, has thoughts and deeper thoughts inside his head. David Sarn, let me go backwards this way now. One of the other, someone just mentioned it in the chat. There's a country to our south called Mexico. Tucson's right on the border, just an hour away, maybe, If you're making good time, I mean, how in the world would it complicate things if, let's say, she was taken across a border, which is a reality in this part of the country?
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at everything. That's why it goes back to the same thing. Could she be in Mexico? These are things you're thinking of. And this is why when these type of cases happen, detectives, and it's not just one, there's several, we're sitting around banging out ideas, figuring out what could, why would she leave? Who would take her? What's the reason for that? So is there a chance someone would go to Mexico? We don't know. And that's the thing. And that's why when the sheriff brought out the whole thing about the LPRs, they're looking at anything they can. Right now, it is grasping at straws. It's a horrible thing to think of. We have a lot. We speculate as to what happened. We have a missing individual who appears to have been removed from her house. We have no idea where she is. There's been a time frame that has been several hours in between the last that she's been seen and the last she's left that house. There is a clock ticking for her medication. You are putting everything out there, and we will do anything. And that's why you'll interact with your partners on the other side of the border. You'll talk to obviously CBP and see if there's been any movement or transport from a vehicle around a particular time frame. You're doing all of that. It's just a lot of things to bear. And that's the whole thing. These type of investigations are going to may seem haphazard, but once you collect all of the information you have, then you can consolidate and you can get that narrative as to what may have happened. And the reality is what may and what we find out are going to be two different things.
Yeah. I remember doing stories in Tucson in neighborhoods like this. You would never believe, but you know, drug trafficking is a big business down there. Drugs come across the border and they storm in homes like this. We had covered stories about people getting confused about, you know, what's a drug drop-off home, what's not, showing up, killing people because they thought, you know, they shouldn't have been in a house that turned out was their own, that they thought was a drug house. So there's some, I would say the desert side, and Phil Ramos can attest to this, desert is beautiful, but it is also an interesting place, and it attracts some strange bedfellows. And I know Tucson has had, you know, some issues, some real issues with crime lately. But it goes back to Phil Waters' point that the intimation here is that it's somebody maybe that the family knew or that they had knowledge of, not necessarily family, but someone they had knowledge of. Phil Ramos, to you, just a couple more minutes and we'll get final thoughts. And as always, I am riveted by these whodunits with these real life detectives sharing their wisdom with us. How do you prioritize leads? I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but there's so much coming at you, Phil Ramos. Again, if you're the lead detective, how are you going through a list of potential suspects? Even if I don't even know if you have one, like what are you prioritizing and how? Outside of the digital stuff?
Well, that's where you have to depend on the family and close friends, and you grill them. Who could have possibly done this? And, you know, to David's point, the border is not that far away, but, man, can you imagine if this ends up being an illegal person from down south that committed this? I can't even imagine the storm that would come from that. But you can't just focus on that. You have to... Mm-hmm. Have your mind open to any possibility. And, you know, and to Phil's point, you start your list and then you prioritize that list based on what the person knows, how close they were to the victim, who was the last person to talk to her, what were her plans for Sunday after church, what were her plans for the week, what had she done during the week, and did she talk to anybody about anything unusual that caught her attention? You know, there's just so many unknowns that we don't have right now. It's hard to say. These guys are going to narrow it down as they get more into the investigation, and that list of priorities will get smaller. But you never know what's going to come down the road, what's around the corner, you know. From my understanding, this is a pretty nice neighborhood, so I would expect that there are a number of surveillance systems that they're looking at to see if anything stands out to the people that live there or just to the cops in general. Like, you know, they're going to be knocking on every house that has a camera and saying, hey, can you please check your cameras to see if there's anything unusual? So at this early stage, that list is long, and it'll get diminished as they progress.
Yeah, I mean, she's a stone's throw from very nice restaurants, very nice retail, and, you know, kind of a bustling part of that area of Tucson. A good distance, maybe like 30, 40 minutes from the University of Arizona. But, you know, as the crow flies, as the old saying goes, probably just about 20 minutes if you're just, you know, be able to be a crow and fly across. But you side roads and windy roads in Tucson. So good distance from the university. The university is a whole other part. You know, the University of Arizona, shout out to the Wildcats. They're undefeated in basketball. But the university is a huge part of this town. There's a missing poster. This graphic was made by STS friend of the show, Jennifer ND98. Very nice of you to put that together. And of course, police have their own wanted poster. But Phil Waters, one other thing, and then I'll get to some final thoughts. You know, the media is bifurcated in this country. Politics, politically, there's a division here. What are the chances that this could be someone who's, you know, disgruntled, doesn't like mainstream media, doesn't like the political bent of NBC, and they wanted to exact revenge, and they're doing it because this is the mother of a very well-known, prominent news anchor?
Well, anything is possible. And when you enter an investigation like this, and I'm sure Phil and David, you know, and I, we enter these things objectively. We're open-minded. We got to let the evidence lead us where we need to be, not take it some crazy place that we might want it to go. So it's always a journey for the truth in these things. And you've got a lot of, as I said before, you got so many moving parts here. It's not one detective that big Detective David there that was standing there, the lead detective on this thing, he's not sitting there going through each Crime Stoppers tip. He's not sitting there processing the evidence that was taken out of the scene. He's not doing those things. He is leading the investigation, which means that there are people that are designated to do just those things. So when I've had these types of investigations where you've got all these different pieces of evidence coming in, or you've got phone calls coming in, you assign a pair or three people, however many people it takes to field all of those tips, and they all have to be run down. And so you've got so many people. That's when that sheriff talks about 100 cars out there. He's not kidding. Because you've got different teams doing different performing different aspects of this investigation. And then when those teams come up with something that's viable, then they report back to the lead detective and say, okay, here's what we've got. Then he has to make an investigative decision on where we go from there based on the latest piece of evidence that we have. So I'm telling you, these are coordinated like military operations. And especially something of this turning of this size. And it's my understanding now that the welfare check was done at 9:30 in the morning, right?
Is that the welfare check, I think, was done in the early afternoon on Sunday.
In the early afternoon. Okay, so how was the determination made that 9:30 in the morning, how did that even come in?
No, 9:30 the previous evening was when family last spoke to her, somewhere between 9:30 and 9:45.
I was a little confused on the timing of this thing. So the welfare check is when the family goes over there and says, hey, something ain't right, or, you know, bring the sheriff's office over. So, which means you got to back up, and sometime between 9:30 and the time she's taken, that's obviously your time frame, and that's when you're going to start working backwards in time, trying to find that surveillance equipment or whatever you have out there, the canvas of the neighborhood and so forth and so on. So, again, it goes back to the timeline. Establish the timeline and then start to work out from there.
Yeah, I would say best guess, better community. And someone in the chat who lives in Tucson, Phil Ramos, said that they watched KGUN News at 4 o'clock, which is where the COA and I used to work, for full disclosure. And at the top of the broadcast, the sheriff was on the news saying, and I have not verified this, but the sheriff was saying that it is a kidnapping slash abduction that they're looking at. If that is in fact true, what does that tell you? I mean, does that tell you there's still hope here?
Possibly. It depends on what the motive for the kidnapping or abduction was. Why kidnap an 85-year-old woman? That takes us back to, is there a nexus with Savannah and her reporting and the job like that? Someone's got it in for her. So in order to do that, you always hear that saying about bad guys. You know, you don't go after the bad guy. You go after the ones, the things that they love the most to hurt them. And so that's a possibility. Whatever that evidence was that caused him to say this is a crime scene is going to be directly related to his comment of this was an abduction and kidnapping. And I mean, that's just 2 + 2 right there. So
yeah,
that tells you the direction they're going.
And you see Missy May, now KOLD, the other local station, the CBS station, is reporting that too, that it was a kidnapping or an abduction. Another amazing panel. David Sarney is a professor at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, retired NYPD detective, the biggest department in all the world, I believe. David Sarney, what's your take if, in fact, this is being now labeled as a kidnapping slash abduction? How does that change the calculus, and your final thoughts here?
Well, now you have to look at some relationships or any relationship they've had, any threats they've had, any emails they've received about this, because this doesn't happen out of the ether. If they knew how to get to her and they're abducting her, what's the purpose of it? What's the reason? And that's why you're going to do a deeper dive into all the family and all the friends and relationship. What tertiary relationship did anyone have that was out of the ordinary? You know, you talk about the caretaker. How did she take care of herself as an 84-plus-year-old woman by herself? Was there a caretaker around? Was there something mentioned about money that she had or finances? What about her finances? What about her banking records? That you're looking at, too. And that's that end. But again, you're going to go expand outward, because obviously someone knew that night was the night to do what they did. What made it that night? And that's why you're going to have to really talk to the families, and you're going to have those uncomfortable interview questions about what relationships they've had that have gone sour, gone awry. And why did they choose an 84-year-old woman to do that? And that's, you know, the abduction. And that's on the one side. Now is the abduction because of something else that we've talked about maybe the wrong house, that they think this is a possible wrong drug house. That's, you know, these are things happen. They're all out there. Everything is out there, but you're going to have to really hone down on the family and relationships, tertiary and more.
Well said. COE, you're going to hate me for this, but we should have a link set up to go. I have a weird intuition that there could be another press conference tonight, and we should be able to go to it with a thumbnail, and I'll call you to discuss that after the show so you can yell at me about it. But that is the reality of news. Phil Ramos, guy is 3-time Officer of the Year in Las Vegas, homicide for 150 years, undercover narcotics like Phil Waters for 375 years. Both these guys, Waters had a mullet, Ramos has the ponytail, the earrings, probably fake or real tattoos. I have no idea. Catching bad guys. Waters never carried $1 million through a casino in cash to infiltrate the Cuban mob. Ramos did, but Waters did other stuff. But Phil Ramos here, your final thoughts on where we stand now, where this goes next?
Stay tuned, man. If the sheriff is able to say this was an abduction, kidnapper, or ransom, that's huge. That's a major development. So stick by the TV.
That's why I just said, CEO, don't yell at me. Yell at Phil Ramos. He said stick by the TV. We're doing a show in 23 minutes. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it, on Wendy Adelson. We're going to keep it fairly succinct. It's 2 hours earlier in Tucson. If anything happens, we'll break in. Phil Waters has investigated over 400 homicides. The guy teaches criminal confessions around the world because he was so good at it. He had a clearance rate of 8 million%, which is very high. and also undercover narcotics for a long time. All these guys, all great guys, too. I can attest to that. Phil Waters, what is your cautionary tale to the Carms and the Nancy Guthries of the world? Once you get into some more vulnerable years, you know, my mother, sometimes as smart and street savvy as she is, will fall for one of these dumb scams in an email. Luckily, she lives in a building with a doorman, so she doesn't have to worry about someone just knocking on her door. But if you're elderly, you're living at home, what is your cautionary tale and your final thoughts here, Phil?
Well, good for you if you're able to do it at that age. And it appears that this lady was able to take care of herself, sharp and all those things. But the reality is that an 84-year-old woman living by herself is the perfect victim. That is somebody that a criminal that is set out to do harm to somebody who is the least threat, she would be a good target. Now, you know, you've talked about it being close to the border. And look, you know, cartels are famous for kidnapping people. And it always goes to you know, money and so forth and so on. So as far as we know, there's not been a ransom offered, but they're calling it a kidnapping and an abduction. So you got to figure out why. What's the why in this? Why do we take an 84-year-old woman out of her home? Now, evidently, she felt secure enough in that neighborhood that, you know, didn't have security personnel or somebody in the home, as you know, living with her to facilitate more secure surroundings. So it strikes me that this whole thing is a big shock to the family. Now, we don't know the interactions of the family, so perhaps it is not, but I just find it it will be interesting to see where this thing leads, where it ends up. And of course, everybody's prayer, my prayer is that Mom Guthrie is okay. And even though if they didn't take the medication, let's hope that they were smart enough to figure out that they're going to have to give her some medication at some point in time, and that maybe they were able to obtain that. So who knows? I mean, it's just going to be interesting how this thing works out. There's so many different angles to this thing, and nothing is apparently the only thing that's clear, at least to the public now, is what the sheriff has said. It's a kidnapping and an abduction, and that's how they're working it.
Mm. Amazing guests. Again, this is really a whodunit. Phil, and David, don't be upset if I call you in about an hour if we get another press conference. For now, though, we're going to be pivoting in 19 minutes to Charlie Adelson, who has an appeal tomorrow in his murder trial. Third show of the day, but we'll be on it, and it'll be a shorter show than typical. But please join us for that. Huge thanks to Phil Ramos, Detective David Sarney, and Phil F.I.L. Waters. And we'll be back 7 p.m. Eastern time. Let's hope that they find Nancy Guthrie, 84 years old, 5'5", you see 150 pounds. Brown hair, blue eyes, the mother of NBC Today Show anchor Savannah Guthrie, but a mom, and she's missing, and we've got to find her. Love you all.